Father, I thank you, Lord, this morning, because we have your assurance that the entrance of your word brings light. And it gives understanding to the simple. Now we ask that that light will shine and comfort our hearts this morning. Let our hearts burn within us and know that we've heard the word of God. And give us confidence and assurance and hope and rest, quietness. In the name of Jesus, we give you, Lord, the praise. And we give you, Lord, the glory. We love you, Lord, this morning, because you first loved us. And we say, let your name be glorified in the message of the Lord. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name, amen. Give ear, O ye heavens, and I will speak. And hear, O earth, the words of my mouth. Let my doctrine drop this morning as a rain. Let my speech distill as the dew, even as a small rain upon the tender herb, and as it showers upon the grass. Because I will publish the name of the Lord, and I will ascribe greatness unto our God. He is the rock. His work is perfect, for all his ways are judgment. A God of truth and without iniquity, just and right is he. Praise the Lord. That's Deuteronomy chapter 32, verses 1 to 4. Praise the Lord. Welcome to the Ignite series. Once again, we've been dealing in the subject of reigniting that flame, rekindling that fire, putting wood upon it, cranking it up every day. And now we switched into this That I Might Know Him series. It's all part of it. You know, get fired up, passionate in our love towards him, and so on and so forth. So the last few days, we've been dealing with this That I May Know Him series. Well, you know, we said in order for us to know him, we must first seek him. So we covered the seeking to know him part. And then the knowing, that was a long subject yesterday. How do we, you know, what do we need to learn of him? How does he introduce himself? What does he say about himself? What do we need to know of him? Very long subject yesterday. I'm not going to repeat that. If you missed it, over almost an hour and a half of teaching, you're going to have to go listen to it. You know, we covered it at length. We had a long discussion even after the teaching about who he is and the oneness of the Godhead and all of that. So we covered that at length yesterday. Today, I want to continue in this series. Now, there's seven parts of this that I introduced that we will do in this To Know Him series. There is this seeking to know him, and there is the knowing him. That's two. Number three is to love him. Number four is to worship and adore him. Number five is to serve and obey him. Obey him and serve him. And number six is, you know, all of that is directed for us to become like him, be like him. You know, you can't be like someone you don't know. You don't know their character. You don't know who they are and so forth. How are you going to be like them? And when we do all of that, there is tremendous reward. We eventually reign with him eternally. Isn't that amazing? That's a journey. It's a lifetime journey, you know. So today we're going to pick it up on the love of God. We've talked about the, you know, seeking after God. We've talked about knowing the Lord and the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Today we're going to talk about loving him. Hallelujah. You know, the Lord in the Old Testament, you know, that was the one thing that he started to command the children of Israel to do. The first thing is he said, look, the Lord thy God is one Lord. And we talked about that yesterday. Hear, O Israel, Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 4. The Lord our God is one Lord, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart. So right after he introduced himself as one Lord, the next commandment out of his mouth is for us to love the Lord our God with all our heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy might. Hallelujah. You know, and these words which I command thee this day shall be in your heart, and thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children. That's right. And yet you shall talk of them when you sit in the house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, and when you rise up. You will even bind them for a sign upon thy hand. You know, wear it like you wear your wristwatch. Put it on like you wear glasses. Put it on as frontlets between your eyes. Write them upon the posts of thy house and on thy gates everywhere. These words that say, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your might. Now, all is all. Now, all doesn't mean we give him some, and then our heart is after something else. That would not be all. Love the Lord our God with all our heart. That's what we're going to examine today. How can the Lord help us to do that? You know, because when we say we love the Lord, but, you know, I mean, the Lord himself said it. We cover this in this lesson. You know, they say they love me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. Well, that's not loving the Lord with all their heart. I mean, we say we love the Lord, but we don't do what he commands. That's not loving the Lord with all our hearts. So let's see, you know, this lesson. You know, it's a very important lesson, because that pretty much, you know, was the very first commandment. In fact, one man came to Jesus in Mark chapter 10, you know, and asking the Lord, you know, which one is the great commandment, you know, and so on. And yet people often want to know, because, you know, people have the intention of actually doing right. They want to do right by the Lord, you know. So, you know, and another one time came and said, look, well, you know, tell me, you know, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? People always want to know. And Jesus, you know, would always tell them from the book of the law. He always goes back to teaching them, you know, from the Bible. He would say, you know, every time he would point them back to the Bible. So let's read something here in Mark chapter 12. Just read one or two verses from about, you know, perhaps verse 28 or so. All right. So one of the scribes which heard, you know, this was the place where, you know, people were wondering. Some people were wondering, you know, many things. There were many things going on here. You know, they asked whether it's lawful to give tribute to Caesar or not. Jesus dealt with that one. Then they asked about the resurrection, you know, trying to trick him into, well, you know, somebody died, you know, his wife had no children, his brothers took him up one by one, they all died. Whose wife will she be? All that kind of stuff. And Jesus straightened them out. He knew where they were going, straightened them out. So there was one man, after he heard all this, he said, wow, you know, he figured that Jesus has answered very well. So he come to Jesus and says, in Mark chapter 12 and verse 28, he said, which is the first commandment of all? So that was the question. Which is the first commandment? Well, let's see the answer that Jesus would give. Jesus answered him and said, the first of all the commandments is, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. So Jesus is quoting exactly what he said in Deuteronomy chapter 6. And you see how Jesus subscribes to the word that God already gave to his people. Went right back to it. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul, with all thy might and with all thy strength. This is the first commandment. So Jesus put it out there. So there's no argument about it. And then he said, the second is like it. Well, now he changes things around a little bit. Moses didn't exactly say it this way. He said a whole bunch of other things, which Jesus talked about in Mark chapter 10. When the other man came and said, what shall I do to inherit the kingdom of God? Well, Jesus said, well, you know the Lord. Thou shalt love, thou shalt honor thy father and mother, love your neighbor, do this, do that, do this, do that. And, the man said, well, I've done all of this. Jesus said, well, you've done well, but you lack one thing. Go and do this and then follow me. So that's how Moses put it. But Jesus encapsulates all those other relationship laws. Well, I call them relationship laws. He encapsulates them into one thing. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. That's it. You love your neighbor as yourself, you won't be a false witness against them. If you love your neighbor as yourself, you won't covet anything that is your neighbor's, either their wife or their ass or their donkey or their servant or anything that is thy neighbor's. If you love thy neighbor, as yourself, you won't kill them. All these things, So Jesus just wraps it up into love your neighbor as yourself. This is the second commandment. And he said, look, there is none other commandment greater than these two. No. Love the Lord thy God with all your heart and all your mind and all your strength. And love your neighbor as yourself. That's it. Keep it simple. And then the man said, wow, thou hast well said. For there is one God. Now, this man is acknowledging. There is one God. And there is none other but he. Hallelujah. And to love him with all the heart and with all the understanding and with all the soul. And with all the strength and everything, and to love your neighbor as yourself, this is more than all burnt offerings and sacrifices. The man, he put out his own understanding of what Jesus was saying. And the Lord said, wow, thou art not far from the kingdom of God. That's it. You are on your way. You got it. Keep going. You are on the right path right now. Because you understand that loving the Lord with all your heart, and loving your neighbor as yourself is better than burnt offerings and sacrifices. This man said it. And he understood also that there is one God. So Jesus said, yep, you're on your way. Hallelujah. Those are good credentials to have. The knowledge of who God is and the understanding of his commandment for us to love him with all our heart and to love our neighbor as ourselves, and the understanding that when you do that, it's better than burnt offering and sacrifice and so forth. This man, he got it. And Jesus acknowledged that. And after that, nobody asked him any more questions. So we see how the love of God is so important, how Jesus dealt with it. Well, let's take a look at some other things that Jesus said about, the love of God. He was teaching, always teaching this. Now he's going to remember. Jesus is the one that came to introduce the Father to us. Because, we covered that yesterday. In this same John chapter 14, where he was dealing with the question that Philip asked him, show us the Father and so on. Let's go back there and pick it up from verse 15. We already read Jesus' response yesterday. How Jesus said, look, I am in the Father and the Father is in me. And if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. So why are you still asking for me to show you the Father when I've been here with you all this time? You still don't know me? All of that. We talked about that yesterday. Now, let's see what ensued after that discussion. After Jesus put that one to bed, there's other things that he went on and said. John chapter 14. So he told them that, look, you need to believe that I'm in the Father and the Father is in me. And if you don't believe that, then believe it because of the works that I do. The works speak for themselves because, no man else can do these things except God is in him. That's what he's saying, and then he turned around and said, look, if you truly believe all these things I'm telling you, you will do the same things, and you can do even more because, my time here is short. I'm going away, but you will have plenty of time. I'm going to send the comforter unto you as well. You know, and then he'll be with you forever. The Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because he sees him not. You know, but neither know him, but ye know him. He dwells with you now, and he will be in you later. And I will not leave you comfortless, and I'll come to you, and so on and so forth. So he'll be telling them this. Now, let's read from verse 15. If ye love me. So Jesus is going to give us his own definition now of how, because you say, well, what does it mean to me to love the Lord with all my heart? How do I know I'm doing that? It's really very simple. Jesus is explaining it here. If you say you love me, then keep my commandments. You know, and if you do that, well, I'm going to pray the Father and give you a comforter that will be with you. I'll not leave you comfortless, but I'll come to you. Now, then he drops down here and say, look, he that hath my commandments, this is verse 21 of John 14. Now, let's pay close attention to this. He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. So what's the definition of loving the Lord? Jesus is explaining again here. If you have his commandments, well, you can't have his commandments if you don't search out what he said. You know, that's number one. And if you have those commandments and you go on to keep them, then Jesus said, yeah, that's a person that loves me. So number one, we see that we can't really love him if we don't know what he has commanded. And if we know what he has commanded and we don't keep them, then we still don't love him. But Jesus put the two, you know, conditions together. Number one, you know what I've commanded. And then number two, you go ahead and do them. That shows you love me. So it's really very simple. So if you're wondering whether, do I love the Lord? Well, that's one way that Jesus put it. We'll see some other ways also where the scripture shows us how we can know that we love the Lord. Here's one way. Keep his commandments. You know, and he said, look, if you have my commandments and you keep them, that shows that you are the one that loves me. And he that loves me shall be loved of my Father. And I will love him. And I will manifest myself to him. And let's pause here and ask ourselves these questions. Here. Is this the same as, you know, for God so loved the world? John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. You know, that John 3:16 is talking about God loving the world. In that particular place, our response to his love is to believe, you know, on his Son. That was the response. And there's a reward for that. In this place, Jesus is stepping it up. He's saying, well, if you really say you love me, then the evidence of it is if you keep my commandments. And I'm going to step it up. If you keep my commandments, there's something that's a differentiated kind of love that you will get. You know, we know that God loves the whole world. But if you keep my commandments, you know, then there is benefit. It's like privileges. It's like something, you know, I mean, everybody in the family who are born in the family, they are children, you know, but. You know, and they have some rights. All the children have some rights. They have a right to food. They have a right to this. They have a right to that. It's the same for everybody. But the ones that are doing the will of the Father, they get some extra privileges. If the child is an obedient child, following, doing his rules, doing his homework and all of these things, they get some perks. Maybe they get to go to the park. Maybe you take them to get some ice cream. Maybe you do this. Maybe you do that. I mean, you give them some little rewards for doing the right thing. They are children already. There's some things they get regardless, whether they do the right thing or not. There's some things they get. You know, they get food, they get this, they get that, because they are children. They all deserve, you know, food, clothing, and everything. You do that the same for everybody, no matter whether they are rebellious or not. But for the ones that are really doing the right thing, being obedient, you know, being a good citizen at school, doing the right thing, you know, the teacher speaking well of them, they're doing their homework on time, they're getting their good grades, then you reward them with some special reward, you know. So let's see the way that Jesus is talking about it here. If you love me, then you will be loved of my Father. Now, hold on now. Are you saying something here? Yes, he's saying something here. This is a differentiated kind of love. This is not John 3:16. You know, John 3:16 is that God loves everybody. But this one is differentiated. And to prove it, he said, look, we will manifest myself to him. So now Judas will ask him now, not the Iscariot, not the one that betrayed him. There was another one there. He said, well, how is it that you will manifest yourself to us and not to the world? So Jesus is going to explain it again because they are still not catching it. So he's going to explain it again. If a man loves me, he will keep my words. And this is the litmus test. You know, if you love me, you will keep my words. It's that simple. And because you're doing that and keeping my words, remember, my words are not my own. They are my Father's that sent me. Now, if you do that, my Father will also love you back. And we will come unto you and make our abode with him. Now, if you keep not my sayings, you know, I mean, if you love me not, you will not keep my sayings. You know, he that loveth me not will not keep my sayings. So if we are not keeping his sayings and we are saying that we love the Lord, we deceive ourselves. But Jesus is explaining here. It's really very simple. If you love me, you will keep my words. And my Father will love you and will come and make our abode with you. Now, if you love me not, you will not keep my sayings. You know, and the word which you have heard of me is not mine. It's my Father's that sent me. That's why if you're doing the word that I'm speaking to you from my Father, the Father sees that you tremble at that word. He will come and make abode with you. Not with everybody. But so this is a differentiated kind of response from God because we love him. And, you know, God is not deceived. You know, God is not mocked. He knows who loves him. So saying it with your mouth doesn't prove anything, you know, but can you show it by actually keeping his commandments? Well, we're going to talk about keeping his commandments in just a bit. What does this all really mean? Because this is so pivotal to this lesson. Because this is, you know, for us to get the constant abiding presence of the Lord. You know, he's talking about something here, you know, a revelation, you know, a revealed presence. Now, again, you know that the Lord is everywhere, right? We know that. Even in Psalm 139, the psalmist said, look, I can't get away from his presence. I can go anywhere. I mean, even if I go to hell, his presence will find me. There's no way that I can escape him. He said that. You know, so that's his universal presence. But what about his revealed presence? Well, the revealed presence is a whole lot different than his universal presence. Now, universal presence is he's everywhere. Well, he may be everywhere, but what about Psalm 16, verse 11. For thou wilt show me the path of life. In thy presence is fullness of joy. And at thy right hand there are pleasures evermore. Well, let's break it down. Let's argue this sentence. If the presence of God is everywhere, we know he's Jehovah Shammah. The Lord is ever present. We know his presence everywhere. He can't get away from him, hell or anywhere else. Well, if that's the case, and in his presence is fullness of joy, then that means everybody, since his presence is everywhere, should have fullness of joy. This world should be full of fullness of joy. Anywhere you turn into, there should be fullness of joy. There shouldn't be bitterness. There shouldn't be hatred. There shouldn't be wickedness. There shouldn't be killing. There shouldn't be all of these things. The whole world should be full of fullness of joy. If this verse is talking about his universal presence, because his universal presence is everywhere. But lo and behold, that's not the case. You know, there is not fullness of joy everywhere. But it's almost the opposite these days. So that means he could not have been talking about his universal presence. He must be talking about his revealed presence. His revealed presence, which is what John 14 was talking about. You know, we will come and manifest. We will make our abode. You know, Jesus said in Revelation 3:20, I'm standing at the door, I'm knocking. If you open, I come unto you. You know, there's a one-on-one attendance right there. you know, and it's a reciprocated kind of relationship. You go after the Lord, then he comes after you. Seek me, you will find me. You love me and keep my commands, I'll come unto you. Now, the rest of the world is not keeping his commandments. And so he's not coming to them like he's coming to the one who's keeping his commandments. You know, so his presence is everywhere, but the ones to whom he will reveal himself is not everybody everywhere. Is the ones that are keeping, doing his will and keeping his commandments. That's where he goes. You know, so that's very important. But Jesus is saying to us that that's actually the definition of how we love him. He's telling us that that is the definition. If we say we love him, you know, then that's the definition. So let's look at Isaiah 66, you know, verses 1 and 2. Thus saith the Lord, the heaven is my throne and the earth is my footstool. And where is the house that you will build unto me? And where is the place of my rest? For all, you know, all these things have my hand made, and all these things have been, saith the Lord. But this is the man to whom I will look. You know, you say there is no respect of persons with God. Well, maybe, and maybe not. But if you are like this, then there is preferential treatment. Ladies and gentlemen, you hear it from me now. If you love the Lord with all your heart and you keep his commandments, this is the person to whom I will look. He may not look to everybody, but he will look to you. He will come after you when you have a poor, contrite spirit and you tremble at my word. You hear the word of God, you tremble at it, you do it, what he says, that brings the presence of God. That, you know, that draws him there, you know. If there may be a lot of things trying to get his attention, but he said, look, I'm going to sift through all of that. Find the one that is trembling at my word. Hallelujah. That's the one. The Bible says that the Lord had respect unto Abel's sacrifice, but he couldn't care about Cain's sacrifice. You know, so let's not think in our head that, look, you know, everything is equal. Well, equal in the sense that, yeah, he gave Christ to the whole world. That's the equal gift. And that's where it ends. The grace of God that bringeth salvation has taught us that it has appeared to all men, you know, all men. So that's equal. But that's how, that's as far as it goes. After that, ladies and gentlemen, it's not equal. It is who loves him. You know, Romans chapter 8, verse 28 will tell you the same thing. Let's read it again. Paul said, look, and we know that all things work together for good. Now, let's see how he says it. I don't know what some Bible versions say, but this is what he says in my Bible version. Romans 8:28 says, we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. Now, notice this verse does not say, we know that all things work together for good to them that God loves. Didn't say that. You know, so God loves everybody. But this scripture is not to everybody. This scripture is to them that love God. So there is a differentiated relationship here. You know, if we read this scripture as though it said that all things work together for good to them that God loves, then that's everybody. But all things don't work together for everybody, ladies and gentlemen. All things will work together for those that love God. So this is a differentiated kind of love. And don't you ever think it, that there's no such thing. There is such thing. Jesus said it with his own mouth. He that loves me and keep my commandment, he's the one that's going to draw my attention. I'm coming after him. I'm going to come and make my abode with him. You know, so let's not fool ourselves that, oh, you know, we are all children of God. Oh, we are all these. Oh, we are all that. You know, people, I've heard the believers, even Pentecostals, well, of course, lukewarm Pentecostals, I should say, that will say, oh, we are all children of God. You know, counting even the Muslims, counting everybody in the world, because they want to have this conglomeration. And say, you know, where in the world are you getting that from? You know, God loves all his creation, but we are not all children of God. There's only one way to become a child of God. And John chapter 1 verse 12 describes it. You know, those that receive him, he gave them power to become sons of God and children of God. That's the only way. And Jesus told it to Nicodemus as well in John chapter 3. You can't do it unless you're born again and enter the kingdom of God. That's the only way you can do it. You know, so, you know, it's not for everybody. These things are, the love of God through Jesus Christ is for everybody. You know, Jesus Christ is God's gift to the world. John 3:16 clearly tells us that God loves the world so much that he gave. So because of his love to the world, he gave Jesus his son. So Jesus is God's gift to the world. And that's where it ends. Now, the Holy Spirit, on the other hand, is not given to the world. So you can already see a differentiation there. Jesus said it in this very text that we are reading, you know, in John chapter 14 and so on. You know, it's not, look, he said the Holy Spirit is given to you, but the world cannot receive him. Let's read that. Verse 15 and 16. 15 to 17. If you love me, keep my commandments, and I will pray the Father, and he will give you another comforter. This is John 14. And he may abide with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive. Because he seeth him not. Neither knoweth him, but you know him. For he dwelleth with you, and he shall be with you. So we see that Holy Spirit is not given to the world. The world cannot receive him. Jesus is given to the world. Holy Spirit is given to the church. So, Jesus is God's gift to the world. Holy Spirit is God's gift to the church. So we can see there's a differentiation there. First, you need Jesus to become a part of his church. You know, so you get the gift that everybody gets. That's Jesus. But after you come in, you get the Holy Spirit. That's a differentiated kind of gifting. You know, and even within that, there's different kinds of giftings. You know, according to their several ability. And God knows what he's doing. You know, so, but there's one thing about the love of God that Jesus is explaining here. It begins with us knowing his commandments and keeping them. That's when we can truly say that we love God. Well, let's talk about how John the Apostle, which we call the Apostle of Love, let's talk about how he brought it out. Now, he's going to break it down because sometimes we spiritualize his love too much. You know, so he's going to break it down. And this John, he's a very shrewd writer when it comes to this subject of love. So let's see what he says. First John chapter 3. Let's read a few things. I'm going to read, you know, quite a few verses from the book of John, you know, as part of this study, so we can get a full grasp of these things. Before I go to all of these definitions about love and so forth, let's see one thing that he says in 1 John chapter 3, verses 22 to 23. Remember, Jesus is talking about, if you love me, keep my commandments, and etc. You know, and, you know, so that may actually sound a bit burdensome because, you know, I mean, I got to keep my commandments. Which ones? You know, I mean, there's hundreds and hundreds of commandments, you know, in the Bible. I got to find them all and keep them all. Well, Jesus made it simple. These are the two commandments. You know, love the Lord thy God with all your heart. Love your neighbor as yourself. You know, and you know, that's it. You know, in the Old Testament, they were told, obey the law, obey the law, obey the law. Well, when Jesus came around, he said, well, love the Lord thy God, and love your neighbor, and believe in me. So he kept it simple. You know, that's it. Now, here's what John says. 1 John chapter 3, verse 22. He said, look, you know, we know that whatsoever we ask of God, we receive of him. Why? Because we keep his commandments and do those things that are pleasing in his sight. Now, this is where the other day I was talking about, you know, God's active will and his passive will. His active will is his commandments, something he has already commanded. We know that. His passive will is what we know pleases him, whether he has said it point blank or not. But we know it pleases him, so that's his active, that's his passive will. So we know his active will, which is what he commanded point blank. And then even if he has no point blank commandment, we know that this thing pleases him, then we do it. And we know this thing does not please him, so we don't do it. So that's his, that's what he means here when he says we keep his commandments, that's his active will, and we do those things that are pleasing in his sight, that is his passive will. So what is his commandment? That we should believe, so he's going to put it out here. Believe on the name of his son, Jesus Christ, and love one another. So he's going to give us another dimension here of loving one another. Now, as he gave us commandments. Now, let's see how John 4 says it. He that keepeth his commandments dwelleth in him, and he in him. Remember, John's the one that wrote John 14 and said, well, if you keep my commandments, I will come and I will dwell with you. Saying the same thing here. If you keep his commandments, you are dwelling in God, and God will dwell in him. And hereby we know that he abided in us by the Spirit which he has given to us. Not to the world, but to us. I mean, John is remembering all those things that he wrote in John 14. He's writing it here in a different kind of way. Same thing. And he goes on and on to explain more about this loving one another. And it's very profound. Some of the things that we've talked about, keeping his commandments. Well, let's talk about loving one another. Let's read, as a Bible study, let's just read through some texts here. Let's go to the next chapter, 1 John chapter 4. I'm going to read from verse 7 through the end. It's a long text, but let's read it as a Bible study. Beloved, 1 John 4 and verse 7. Let us love one another. Why? For God is love. And everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. Remember, our topic is to know him. So he's saying that, well, if you love God, then you know God. But you can't really love him unless you know him. So you see that this thing is like a two-way thing. Now he that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. So how do we know? What's the evidence that you actually know God? Well, that's the love that you demonstrate in your heart, both towards the Lord and towards one another. Let's see how he said it. In this was the love of God manifested toward us, that God has sent his only begotten Son into the world, that we might live through him. Now that's for the whole world, just like I said. Now, herein is love. Not that we loved God, but he loved us first. See, even when we didn't know anything. Romans chapter 5 verse 8. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for the ungodly. We didn't even know anything about it. But he did it. He gave that to the world and he settled it. And he sent his son to be the propitiation for our sins. This is the redemption. This is what, covers our sins. This is the payment for our sins. Now, he said, beloved, if God so loved us like that, then we ought also to love one another. No man has seen God at any time. Now, if you love one another, then this is the proof that God dwells in us and his love is perfected in us. Now herein know we that we dwell in him and he in us because of the Spirit that he has given to us. And he doesn't give us that Spirit unless we love him and keep his commandments. So everything ties together. And we have seen and testified that the Father sent his Son to be the Savior of the world. We know that. Whosoever therefore shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God. So here's another dimension. God dwelleth in him and he in God. Now, he says, look, we have known and believed the love that God had toward us. Now, God is love. And he that dwelleth in love, dwelleth in God, and God in him. That's a song we sing about that. Now, herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment. So, loving the Lord the way that God prescribes it, can actually give us boldness in the day of judgment. Because as he is, so are we in this world. Now, there is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, because fear has torment. Now, this is true whether it's, directional love you know, between you and the Lord, or bidirectional love between you and your neighbor, or even your spouse. You know, perfect love will cast out fear. Fear has torment. You know, and where there is torment, there is no love. You know, and then somebody who's tormenting the other person, they're not demonstrating love, because perfect love will cast out fear. Now, he that is fearing still is not made perfect in love, because they don't have an atmosphere to enjoy true love. They are in fear. Now, we love him because he first loved us. Now, listen to this. If a man say that I love God and hates his brother, he's a liar. Ladies and gentlemen, what happens to liars? Now, if a man say, I love God, but hates his brother, he is a liar. For he that loveth not his brother whom he has seen, how can he say he love God whom you have not seen? And what can you love God that you don't see, when you can't love his brother that's created in his image? That you see all the time. And this commandment have we from him, that if you say you love God, then be sure that you love your brother also. As a matter of fact, that's the proof. Because you can say I love God, which is a bit abstract, and we don't know that you do. But if you love the brethren that you see, then that's the proof. Well, turn to the next chapter. Let's keep reading. He says, look, 1 John chapter 5, verse 1. Whosoever believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. We settle that. And everyone that loveth him, that begat, loveth him also that is begotten of him. Well, let's break that down. If you love somebody, then you will love their children. That's what he's saying here. You know, and I have friends, a lot of friends that have children. I may not have a direct relationship with their children, but I love the children because I love my friend. You know, this is my friend. You know, if I know that that's a child of my friend, I just love them automatically, even though I may not have a relationship with that child. Well, I love that child because it's a child of my friend whom I love. So that's what he's saying here. If you love the source, you know, then you love the offspring. So if you love the parent, you will love their children. If you say you love God, then you must love God's children. Now, if you don't love God's children, how can you really say you love God? That's what he's saying. And by this, we know that we love the children of God. When we love God and keep his command, now he's turning it around. You know, he says it's one way, and now he says it's another way. You know, you love, if you say you love God, then love his children. And if you love his children, then we know you love God. And if you love God, you keep his commandment. I mean, it's all the same thing. What is the commandment? That we love one another. But this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments. And his commandments are not grievous. In case you say, well, how in the world am I going to do all of those commandments? Well, he's telling you here that they're not burdensome. They're not grievous. It's really very simple. It's kept it simple. Love the Lord thy God with all your heart. Love your neighbor. How do you know you love the Lord? Well, love your neighbor also. You know, and so on. And do that which is right in the eyes of the Lord. And believe on his son, Jesus Christ. Keep it really very simple. Now, and that's how you can overcome the world, actually. He said, he that overcometh the world is he that believeth that Jesus is the son of God. That's in verse 5 of that same chapter. Now, so let's talk about all of these things. You know, the love of the brethren. Let's talk about that for a bit. You know, because this John is very bold in these writings. He even goes so far as saying, if you hate your brother, you know, then you don't have eternal life. And, you know, actually he says, you know, if you hate your brother and so forth, you know, that you are a murderer. So let's read that in 1 John chapter 3. And go back and read some of it. You know, I skipped that part. When I jump straight to the keep his commandments. But let's go back and read it in 1 John chapter 3. Let's read it from verse 15 or so. 1 John chapter 3. Let's read what he says here. From verse 15. You know, John is going to be very, very bold here. and write some very bold statements. You know, let's pick it up from, this whole chapter here, you know, it's talking about many things. He said, look, this is the message. I'll pick it up from verse 11. This is the message that you heard from the beginning, that we should love one another. Not as Cain, who was of that wicked one. Cain was of the devil, who slew his brother. Wherefore did he slay him? Well, because his own works were evil and his brother's were righteous. You know, God had respect to Abel's sacrifice, but didn't for Cain. And so he got, you know, very angry, killed his brother. How did he know how to kill? I mean, nobody had ever killed anybody before then. How did he know? Well, because he was of the devil. Now, marvel not, my brethren, if the world hate you. We know that we have passed from death unto life. Listen to this. These are some very profound statements that he's going to make. Now, why are we going into this? Because Jesus is saying, well, upon these two hang all the law and the prophets. Love the Lord, love thy brother as yourself. Well, if we don't know what loving the Lord means, well, let's examine what loving our brother means. And he's saying that, look, we are passed from death unto life because we love the brethren. You know, that's how we know we've passed from death to life. He that loveth not his brother abideth in death. Ladies and gentlemen, hear ye these words today. If you do not love your brother or your sister, scripture says you abide in death. Now, no matter what we claim, no matter how many hours we can speak in tongues, no matter how many other things we can do, this is very basic. If we cannot love our brother, our sister, your husband, your wife, your children, or whatever, whoever is your brother or your sister, even your neighbor. You know, one time one man said, look, and who is my neighbor? After Jesus told him that same thing, willing to justify himself. You know, so, well, who then is my neighbor? And so the story of the so-called Good Samaritan story came out of that. And Jesus told him a story, which we all know. And then he said, well, which of these people were neighbor to the man that was attacked by armed robbers? The man, the priest that came by and did nothing for him. You can read that story in Luke chapter 10. The Levite that came by, passed by on the side, or the so-called Samaritan, which we now call Good Samaritan, that came down and took care of him. Said, which one was neighbor to him? He said, well, the one that took care of him. Well, Jesus said, fine, you go and do that likewise. So as much as you have opportunity to do anything to anybody, that is your neighbor. You know, it's what the scripture is saying. So let's get back to 1 John chapter 3 and see how boldly the Holy Spirit through John calls this thing out. You know, that look, if you do not love your brother, then you abide in death. That is very profound, you know. And he said, look, if we abide in death, looking to verse 15, very, very profound. Whosoever hateth his brother is a murderer. Now, those who cannot forgive, they are haters. So you better be careful. This is very profound. You can't forgive. You just hate. There's some deep hatred, some deep bitterness and hatred inside our heart. If we harbor that, this scripture is calling it out that we are becoming murderers. And you know what happened to murderers. You know, he said, whoso hateth his brother is a murderer. It's a bold statement. And ye know that no murderer hath eternal life abiding in him, no matter what he claims. So this is very serious. Now, hereby perceive we the love of God, because he laid down his life for us. For we ought also to lay down our lives for the brethren. Now, if you have these world's goods and you see your brother have need and you shut up your bowels of compassion from him, how dwelleth the love of God in you? My little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue only, but in deed and in truth. You know, and so he goes on to say all these other things. But this part is profound, that if we say we have eternal life. And we go about saying we're going to heaven, but we have hatred in our hearts towards people. You harbor the hatred to the point that you cannot forgive and release them. Jesus is telling us through the scriptures here, Holy Spirit is telling us, be careful now. You may be on a very dangerous slope. You know, wouldn't it be tragic? I mean, not even a lifetime tragic, but eternally tragic. If somebody gets there on the day that they stand to give account of themselves, and the Lord say, get away from me, you murderer. I say, murderer? I never killed anybody. Just like the people that said, get away from me because you never treated me well when I was sick, when I was hungry, when I was naked, when I was this and that. And they said, we never saw you. We were taking you. And they told them, look, you saw all these people. You didn't do it to them. That means you didn't do it to me. Same thing. So get away from me, you murderers. And say, murderer? I never murdered anybody in my life. I loved everybody. And so, well, you didn't because you had hatred. And then the books were open. And you know, and you can't deny it, you know, because there are books. There's the book of life and then there are books. And the books will open, it'll be like a video. It'll play back and you see it, you know, that hatred. And then you can see into your own heart, just like the Lord sees into the, you see that hatred that you hated that person, that you could never release them for all something they did to you that hurt you so bad. But you carry that hate, you carry that hurt, and the Lord will say, why didn't you trust me with that? You know? And then you say, take him away. You know, cast him out into outer darkness and so on. And say, wow. You know? And then, you know, begin to cry and plead. Now, that's why the Bible says there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. But it will be too late at that time. Perhaps not entirely into lake of fire, but the outer darkness. Outer darkness means, you know, far away from the light. The farther you go away from the seat at the table, the darker it becomes. And I say, sit at the table, which God wants you to have. And, you know, if you're not there, it'd be far away and it'd be like a dark place, you know, a dark place. And you say, wow, you know, we had a lifetime opportunity to come clean and get that bitterness, get that hatred out of that heart. You know, so that's what this Loving the Lord series is all about. You see that how we've taken it, not just the spiritualizing the part that, oh, we love God, but let's call it real. You know, love your brother too. If you say you love God, love your sister, love your spouse, love your children, love your parents, love your neighbor. If we don't love the people we see, and you tell me you love the someone you don't see, well, John is bold to say you're a liar. You know, anyone that says that, you say liar. You know, and, you know, outside the holy city are liars. And all liars shall be cast into the lake of fire. You know, so now this is, you know, hey, you know, that's a stretch. But look, if they don't repent, it is what it is. So we don't want that upon our heads. You know, so let's be careful now. Jesus said, the words I speak will judge. You know, and on that day, nobody will be able to argue anything. Once they start to argue and the books open up, their mouth will be shut. You know, and they'll see it. And everybody will see it too. So it's like, oh, wow. You know, so we have an opportunity to fix these things now. So the summary of today's lesson, which is on love the Lord, is as follows. It is the first and greatest commandment. You know, and to love the Lord with all our heart means to choose him above all else. So we're summarizing now. He needs to be our chief joy. You cannot prefer even the gifts of God's hands above God himself. Even the very things that God himself can give, which we know, you know, according to, you know, James, we know that he says that, look, every good and perfect gift, you know, comes from above. We know that he said that in James chapter 1 and verse 17. So anything that's good and perfect comes from God. God gives you, you know, a good husband is from God. Gives you a good wife is from God. Gives you goodly children is from God. Gives you a good job is from God. Gives you good knowledge and inspiration to curate businesses and do things in the marketplace is from God. God makes you great is from God. But all those things, even the things that come from God himself, must not be chosen above God. That's it. Now, if we allow even the things that God gave us to take precedence over God, then we're no longer loving God with all our hearts. There's a place in our heart that's been taken by something else. You know, so that's the thing. You know, he's got to be our number one joy. Choose him as your chief joy. You can't have anything else besides him. God will be, ladies and gentlemen, let me say it. It's another punchline for us today. Take it. God will be number one in our lives or no number at all. That's it. He will not be number two. He will not be number three. And he will not be number four. He will be number one or no place at all. You know, God will not, I am a jealous God, saith the Lord. And he will be number one. And we are bought with a price. The only person that owns you is God. Your spouse doesn't own you. They may make demands on you and so, but they don't own you. Jesus paid a price. He owns you. Your children don't own you. Your parents don't own you. Your job doesn't own you. You know, government doesn't own you. You know, whatever, you know, anything that we think we subscribe to doesn't own us. Christ owns us. God. Through Christ owns us because he paid the ransom. So ye are bought with a price. You know, and we, you know, God bought us lock, stock, and barrel from the devil, and he owns us. And so he will have a true allegiance, a heart of true allegiance. Now, does that mean that, you know, we go through life, behave all pious and everything, and can't think of anything else? That's not what it means. You go about your life, you do your thing, you do whatever, you know, we're in this world. I mean, Jesus said, don't take them from the world. So he knows we have to deal with the world, you know, but your heart is set right with God. He's number one. Now, as long as God is number one, every other thing can fall into place. That's okay. But he must be number one. And so we must examine ourselves daily to see if God remains number one. Yeah, if at any time we're letting that God's position slip away from number one, then we need to make corrections and restitution and come back and repent and put him on top where he belongs. You know, so that's the thing. You know, it's a really simple, break it down like that. Now, once we choose the Lord as number one in our lives, then everything else, that's what Jesus said. Matthew 6:33, you know, seek ye first God and his kingdom. And then all these other things. Once he's number one, then all these other things can follow. And that's okay. But don't put all those other things that should follow. Don't put the cart ahead of the horse, pretty much. Don't put the things that should follow ahead. You know, don't chase after those things and asking God to bless those things. You know, no, you chase after the Lord and then let him bless you with those things. So this is our lesson on that part. Then the second part of it is, Jesus said, well, the second commandment is like the other. Love your neighbor as yourself. So that's why we dived into the book of John to see how do we love our neighbor as ourselves. You know, if you have these world's goods and someone comes to you, you say, well, let me pray for you. You know, the scripture says, and James said the same thing. He said, look, someone comes to you, you know, that needs, is naked when he was talking about faith without works. He said, they're naked, they need to be clothed, you know, winter. And then you say, you know, Holy Spirit, keep you warm. He said, what good is that? Give them a blanket. You know, your prayer is not going to do anything. Just give them a blanket already. If they need food, don't pray that God should fill their stomach. What does that mean? Give them food. You know, you just keep it practical. Keep these things practical. You know, if you see someone that has a need and, you know, Proverbs 3:27. What does it say? Let's look at it. You know, the book of Proverbs 3:27. Let's take a look. He said, look, if this thing is in your power to do it, then do it already. You know, don't withhold it. You know, when it's in your power. If you withhold it, you know, that's not good. He said, withhold no good from them to whom it is due when it is in your power to do it, the power of your hand. It's already there to do it. Why do you withhold it and then pray? You know, so, you know, let's put things right. There's time for prayer. There's time for action. You know, the thing that the man who's shivering in the cold needs is a blanket, not prayer. You know, first give him the blanket and after that you can pray for him, you know, and so on. You know, but you heard the saying, and if you haven't heard it, hear it today. People don't care how much you know until you know how much you care. You know, we say that in our, you know, outreach ministries. You know, you got to show it the love. You show them, you know, go about doing good. You know, sometimes it's not all about preaching the gospel to people, you know, to do that, you know, believe on Jesus so you go to heaven. Show them the love of God instead sometimes. You know, there's times when you need to preach that, and sometimes when you just need to give them some food, you know. It's not all the time that Jesus went about and said, do you believe on me? At times he just healed people and just moved away. You know, and sometimes he just do something good without even saying anything. And then sometimes they just have to say, who are you? And say, don't tell anybody. And just move on. You know, there are times when he's come back and run and find the guy. Say, believest thou in the Son of God? After he already healed him first. You know, and then he say, well, who is he? Tell me that I may believe. I say, well, you're looking at him. Other times he just healed them and just moved on. You know, there are sometimes he just gave the disciples food. I mean, the multitudes food. I mean, it's all these things are in the scriptures. It's a time for everything. It's a time to labor in prayer for people. It's a time to labor in good deeds and alms to the people. All these things have their place. So this is practical Christianity, you know, 101. Love your neighbor as yourself. Don't say that you love them when you can't even help them when they are in need and you have the power to do it. Now, this is different from, you know, people who are users. We covered that in our wisdom series when we did prudence and sound judgment. I'm not going to go into that today, but that's different. But we're just talking about people who are just in need. You know, a person is in need and it's in your power to do it, you know, and so forth. Why not? You know, show the love of God, give a lending hand, and so on and so forth. And he that giveth to the poor, lend it to the Lord, and the Lord will repay him. You know, so that's practical love. And the biggest part of this also that I will end with is forgiveness. You know, if you say you love God, who forgave you all that trespass and sin, delivered you from darkness and brought you into light, and you cannot forgive your own brother their own trespass, well, think again. The story is laid out clearly in Matthew chapter 18. The story of the man who owed his master 10,000 talents and he couldn't pay, you know, and the master said, pay. And he said, I can't, but I beg of you, give me time. I will pay all. And the master had, you know, pity on him and he frankly forgave him everything. And then the same servant went out, found someone that owed him a fraction, a minuscule fraction of what he himself had owed to the master. And he said, pay. And the man said, I can't. I beg of you, give me time and I will pay. And he said, no. And he went and hired, you know, officers to cast him into prison until he should pay all. When the man was free, had the ability to work, and he couldn't pay, you know, how is he going to pay when he's cast into prison when he can't work? So the man's going to rot in prison. And other people around them found out about that. They were grieved about it. So they went and told the master, said, look at what this man did. And the master was furious and called him. And he said, thou wicked servant, I frankly forgave you all that debt when you desired of me. And I did all of that for you. Shouldn't you therefore have had compassion on your fellow servant even as I had on thee? You know, and it was a profound thing that happened after that. The Lord said, well, you know, take him and deliver him to the tormentors. You know, now this was somebody that was already forgiven. His forgiveness was rescinded, ladies and gentlemen. You know, somebody has argued with me before that that can happen. I said, well, I don't know which scripture or Bible you're reading, you know, how, whether you are smarter than the Holy Spirit, you know, but this man's forgiveness was rescinded because of his own unforgiveness. You know, so these are very serious things. And see how Jesus closed that lesson in Matthew chapter 18. Let's read the last part of it, and then I will close it out there. In Matthew chapter 18, this is how Jesus closed that lesson. He said, you know, he said, look, O thou wicked servant, I forgave thee all that debt. That's Matthew 18 and verse 32. Shouldest thou not therefore also have had compassion on thy fellow servant as I had pity on thee? And the Lord was wroth and delivered into the tormentors that he should pay all that was due to him. Now, he was already forgiven all the debt. And now the whole thing was rescinded. As I say, so, and this is Jesus' summary of that whole story. So likewise, ladies and gentlemen, let's pay attention to these things. And this is the one to whom I will look. He that trembles at my word, right? And he that say, nah, that's not what he meant, or nah, that doesn't matter. Now, so likewise shall my heavenly Father do unto you, if you from your hearts forgive not every one his brother their trespasses. So it's very clear. Jesus said, my heavenly Father do the same thing unto you. If you don't forgive from your heart, truly forgive your brother their trespasses. So this unforgiveness can cause a loss of a seat at that table. It can even cause tormentings and different things. You know, Jesus said, give him to the tormentors. Maybe some prayers are hindered. Maybe some things are happening because of unforgiveness. You know, all these things are in the scriptures. So let's take heed. I'm going to pray over the room now. This lesson of loving the Lord our God. There's so much more to be said on it, but I'm looking again at time. This time just has a way of flying. So, Father, I pray in the name of the Lord Jesus over the lesson that we have learned today. This first and great commandment, to love the Lord our God with all our heart, our mind, and our strength, and to choose him as our chief joy. Lord, teach us how to do this. Teach us your way, that I may know thee. That's what the Moses' prayer was. Teach us your way, Lord, that we may know you. And Lord, again, you said the second commandment is like the same. Love your neighbor as yourself. And give us the grace also to understand that. How to love our neighbor as ourselves. And then Jesus took it even higher and said, you know, well, love as I have loved you. So, Lord, we thank you. I pray that you help us to understand these things. Help us to love the Lord our God. Help us to love our neighbor. And help us, Lord, to demonstrate actually that we love you by keeping your commandments and doing those things that are pleasing in your sight. And we need the grace, Lord, to do it. We need your grace. For without you, we can do nothing. Thank you, Lord, for inspiring these words, illuminating it into our hearts, giving light and understanding. We give you praise and give you glory. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.